you so much, Kay. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see a good group out this morning on a beautiful fall day. Yeah, let's hear it. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Now, I just want to say this. We don't anticipate holding another outdoor service this year, but I'd like to challenge a few of us to maybe have a service some morning when it's 20 below out here. Think we could do it? I'm up for it. I've got coveralls. But we're delighted God gave us this beautiful day. You know, God is good to us in every way, shape, and form. But on that basis of the goodness of God, I want to welcome you once again to our services this morning as we turn our heart toward the Lord. You have a handout today in your flyer or bulletin, and we're going to sing this morning an old hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. It's a hymn about the transcendence of God. He's there at all times and always will be, and He'll be our help. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. Watch in the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Let's pray together as we open this service. Our Father in heaven, again we come today acknowledging as we approach your throne, your awesomeness and your might, the transcendency of your being, the fact that you have always been and always will be. And the key thing that we gain from that hymn is that you will always be a help to those that you love. And you have loved mankind. It's in our decision-making process, Lord, whether we love you. And when we realize that you've loved us, for many here, and I hope all today that are here, we've come to understand that it's only through that love you've had for us that we're able to love you and understand you. Lord, we come to you today as needy people. We come to you today as a needy nation. And we ask, Lord, once again for your mercy and grace that you've abundantly shed upon us, that it might continue. But we also acknowledge today, Lord, that we are a sinful people. And in many ways, we have turned from you, both individually and corporately as a nation. We thank you now, Lord, for the gathering today, the time of encouragement from the Word and worship from the heart that's directed to you. We pray today, Lord, and thank you for all that have come out. And thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us for an outdoor service. We realize, though, today, Lord, as we consider the position that we are at in history with many things that beset the human race, and, Lord, with people's difficulties that they may have today, we know there are all types of emotions for people that are here and those that may not be here. But thinking of that, Lord, we pray for our community, and especially today, Lord, for those who are under duress from health issues, and maybe today someone's suffering with depression, Lord, and all kinds of things. But your tender love and mercy is near to them if they will reach out. So, Lord, may this be a time that pleases you and brings honor. And we thank you again, Lord, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to have just a little change from what's in your worship folders this morning. And today we are going to sing the handout, It Took a Miracle.
some help. You may not realize this in your cars, but it's a pretty good wind up here this morning, isn't it, Kay? Noticed this already today, our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, where it should be, and his goodness directed toward us. At this time, if you have a worship folder or a bulletin, take a look at the right-hand side of the inner fold on that. Just a few quick things that I want to make known. One of the things that I want to tell you is if you wondered why we have no message from last week on the internet, on the website, it's because it was lost, and we haven't found it yet. No. It got erased by mistake before it got placed on there. If anyone is all that interested, and I hope you are, but I will give you a paper copy of that, but it's lost for eternity unless I re-preach it, so it's not on there. But hopefully today things will work well. We've had a few glitches already, though, this morning. You'll notice you have a hand-printed handout, and we had the guy down from ABS Friday working on the copier and still didn't get it corrected, apparently, so you have to do it the old-fashioned way once in a while. There will be a bonfire fellowship at the church on October 24th. That's a Saturday evening from 5:30 to 7:30. This will be a situation, again, with Corona, where you need to bring your own food, utensils, drinks, and lawn chairs, and, of course, it's subject to weather permitting. But invite people out for that. And I might just say also at this time, welcome to anyone that's visiting with us today. We're always glad for everyone, and it's always a joy to meet folks and again, greet you today in the Lord's name. Also, baptismal membership class, we were going to start that this morning, but it didn't come out about, so we'll do that the next two Sunday mornings at 9:30, Sunday school hour. There's a women's Bible study this coming Saturday, Lord willing, and you see some things there. And, of course, our services have come back almost to normal. Again, we're still missing some people that might normally be here, but we're just praying that God will send our community. We're concerned for our community and their well-being, And anyway, I'll stop talking at this point. Is there anything else that needs to be announced this morning that we didn't? Yes. Yes, we'll get to that, Matt. I haven't forgotten, okay? All right. At this time, then, the ushers are going to come around as Kay does an offertory, and then we're going to have a quick business meeting, an open-air business meeting this morning for a wonderful reason. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Lonnie. I wondered why you were there. Okay.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Hey, let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for getting us here today. What a beautiful day, Lord. I know it's chilly, the wind's blowing, but it's still just a gorgeous day. An opportunity, Lord, to come to your house to worship you. Even in our cars, Lord, we can do this. Thank you, Lord, so much for what you've done for us, Lord. Each and every day of our lives, you do something a little bit more for us, Lord. We thank you so much for it. Thanks for our pastor, Lord, his wife, getting them through the many things, Lord, they've had to deal with lately. But they're here to end today. Pastor's made up a message for us that you've laid in his heart, Lord. Use him today, Lord, as he speaks. May it touch everybody's heart. And Lord, maybe we might even see a person get saved today, Lord, for you. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us as we take up this offering. Please be with the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe we're not quite done, but we're done, okay? This morning I have a great privilege. I want to introduce to you this morning a young lady named Jane Theobald. She has energy like I used to have about 40 years ago. And I like that.
He has more energy in my mind.
And Jane is excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jane's come here a while back, and she's been coming to Fruitland. she'd like to join Fruitland Baptist Church. And so, you know what? We're glad for that, but we're going to listen to her just a little bit. She's going to share her testimony about her salvation in Jesus Christ very briefly. And I know that Jane already has been baptized, immersed in water. Pastor McNamara at Wilton was the guy that baptized her. But Jane would like to unite here at Fruitland, and we like that. That's exciting to me to see new people come on board. So, Jane, do you want to tell the folks a little bit about yourself and your walk with the Lord? Go right up here where they can hear you.
I've been coming to church. I've been going to church all my life, and I thank God that let me come to church. And, I've been baptized once. In June of 2009, Brian McNamara baptized me, but that's not how you got saved. You get saved by Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I've been struggling a lot in my life, and I've been praying, and I love coming to church, and God is my Heavenly Father, and God is very amazing, and He's wonderful, and I thank God for letting me come to this church and great people and great pastor and everybody.
Well, thank you, Jane. Look, leave the great pastor thing off of there. I'm up here on a high place. I'll fall a long way down. Jane, we're delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
And I like your enthusiasm. So at this time, I'm going to call a business meeting to order. And I'll ask that there be a motion made that we receive Jane into our membership. Matt, thank you. And Doug Chatfield has a second on that. All those in favor, either yell out aye or honk your horns. Opposed, same sign. Okay, Jane, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
I've got a little something here for you. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you'd like to meet Jane up close and personal, she and I will be standing right down here at the end of the service, all right? Jane, congratulations. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right, Lord bless.
Thank
you. All right, that's great. I love that. Again, when we see people placing some commitment in the Lord's church, and that's a wonderful thing. I've got to do a little adjusting here.
Yeah.
And Kay has got a special for us.
Thank you.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told, how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today. Signs of the times are everywhere, and there's a kind of feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt He'll come again, but the Word of God is real. He'll redeem His chosen few. Don't lose hope, soon Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are everywhere, and there's a kind of feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your head, redemption.
always need to realize that there are many factors that, again, confirm what Scripture has already told us about what's coming. And I think Kay really sang the essence of that today, that we need to be watching and be ready because our redemption gets closer or draws nigh every day more and more. Again, welcome to our services this morning. We're always glad for everyone that comes. I've got to readjust this one more time and hope it stays. There we go. Now, hopefully it'll stay put. Well, I'm going to struggle a little bit this morning as I get things set up here in the wind, but please pray for me that we don't blow away here totally. This is going to be a challenge this morning. Like I said, this is going to be a challenge this morning. Interestingly enough, I can tell you this without a doubt, that every day that I have ever begun to preach a message, did you find the sermon, Jeff? Oh, okay, there we go. Some of you may not realize this, but you may have, because this morning you may have had a battle just to come today. And I found in my experience serving the Lord, thank you, Jason. Did we lose any of it?
No, it's all there.
I know we have trouble losing things, brother.
Do you need an order and then a question on it?
I'm not sure what I need, Kay. I need help. Lord, help me. That's my most common prayer.
Step in there real fast and organize it.
Oh, no. No, because I'm pretty disorganized anyway. Anyway, I may have to get an assistant this morning. Okay. There's the meat of it right there. And this can go underneath. Anyway, this morning you have a handout in your worship folder, in your bulletins, and there are some fill-in-the-blanks. And as I mentioned earlier, we had some technical troubles this week. Yeah, go ahead, Jason. Try that. We'll get through this. Did I finish what I was saying? We always undergo things that thwart us from either being involved in the study of the Word or the preaching of it or when we try to live for Jesus Christ. That is a given because we're engaged, again, in a struggle. And it's an epic struggle between God and the forces of evil. But the interesting thing is that the Lord's defeated Satan already. And the war is over, but the battle still rages, if you understand what I mean by that. And I think probably we could all identify with that. Well, this has been another eventful week in history. And a verse came to mind this week. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Can anyone quote that? I'll see if I can quote it. It says something to this effect. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you know, we're engaged in a political season here in the United States, both local and national right now. But I'll tell you something, folks. The Lord's will prevail no matter what happens. And I was thinking this week, you know, we don't know who will be in those positions of leadership and how frail and brief our life can be. But I know this, that God tells us through his servant Daniel, he sets people up, I'm paraphrasing here again, he sets people up, kings up, and he causes them to fall in the same way with nations. None of these things are taking place by accident, but God has his will that will always prevail. Anyway, with that in mind, I'm going to preach a political message this morning. I could be put in jail for that. But I'll tell you what, it's probably warmer up there in the jail right now than it is here up on the porch, right? I'm just having fun. No, I don't endorse politics here, but I'm going to preach about things that will cause all of us to be able to make a wise decision. And you have to take me seriously on that because these things are all going to come from the Word of God. And we're looking this morning, the title of the message is God's Qualities for Leaders of Our Nation. So we're going to look into Moses this morning, who was a good leader, but was he perfect?
No,
he was not, but he was a good leader, and he had a heart for God when things got set on course with him. And Jeff, I'm going to have to ask you to come up here again because for some reason this mic keeps dropping. And I'm afraid to let loose of these papers this morning. Well, then we'll leave it there if that works. Okay. Wow, I'm double mic, just like the president, right? Yeah. Well, I was thinking more about Richard Nixon, you know. Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's right. He said he was not a liar, right? No, I don't know. I'll let God determine that. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get down the road on this message. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, today again, both personally and nationally, we face many decisions. And Lord, we do pray today for the leaders in our nation. We pray for President Trump today and his administration, as there are many in that group that are affected with the coronavirus and the effects, Lord, that this has had on our nation. Now, there's a lot of debate about that, Lord, but I do believe it's a real thing. And I believe it's something, again, that maybe you did not send, but you have allowed, Lord, as you work your plan. So we don't know exactly the outcome of that. We have to trust you by faith as we operate through the windshield. But we'll see, Lord, in the rearview mirror what all takes place because of this. So, Lord, I'm going to simply pray like you taught us to pray. May your will be done, Lord. But also, may we be in the right mode and do the right things as your people, Lord, today, as we make decisions and think about leadership. Now, Lord, it's my prayer again today that maybe if there's someone here who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that, Father, again, they would understand through the singing and the things that we presented here that truly you are indeed in control of this universe and you are the only way. You're the truth and the life. We cannot be redeemed, be forgiven of our sins through anyone else other than you, Lord Jesus, and made reunited with the Father. So I pray to that end today. And then, Lord, again, you've got me up here, and that's always a problem. But I pray you'll give me the strength and the Holy Spirit power to preach this message for your honor and glory. Pray, Lord, that we control the wind here this morning, that nothing would blow away. But if it does, Lord, we'll go the best we can, and we'll know that you had a reason in that as well. So, Lord, help us, I pray, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, in a matter of days, you will have the option to place your vote for the leadership of at least part of our government, locally and nationally, including the president. Never take this right, and I want you to hear this carefully, this right, it is a constitutional right, but it's also a responsibility. When you have rights, you also have responsibilities. Don't take it lightly. We stand at a critical juncture in our journey as a nation. This morning's message may give you pause for thought as you cast your vote. All leaders have their faults as sinners, because we're all sinners. And that includes all the leaders in the Bible with the exception of one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He made no mistakes. Sin could not ever be charged against Jesus because he is sinless. He is the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. But we're sure that all those things are evident as you study these characters in the Bible, and they can be listed. Now, here's what I'd like to say at this point. Look at your Bible. Look at the people in the Bible that God used. Look at the people that God didn't use. You're going to be able to learn a lot of positive things and negative things. I preached a funeral this week, and I mentioned in that funeral that in every person you can learn something. You can learn positive things, and you can learn negative things. And my friends, I encourage you to open God's Word and investigate leaders in the Bible and find out. I'm just going to give you a snippet this morning of a few things about a guy named Moses. But you can pick any character, and there will be value there that you will find. And list those things out. Be a student of the Word. You know, Paul said, I probably said this last Sunday, do not be ignorant, my brethren. Don't be uninformed. Be cutting edge. Know what's going on so that you can make an informed decision. I believe the Bible is a great place to start because I believe, again, it's absolute truth. All those faults are evident, though, in the people that you study, along with the positives. The Bible commends and condemns many of these leaders. This morning, the leader Moses, and at least some of his positive qualities that made him a good leader. We're not going to look at his negatives today. There are some, in spite of his faults, that you can translate to the ballot box on election day. So this morning, either on your device or your handheld Bible, paper Bible, we're going to be working in the books of Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You have these verses listed. I'm going to move through these quickly. With these fill-in-the-blanks, I may not be able to read all the scripture, and yes, we may have trouble with the wind up here, and I'm almost certain that we're going to. But the first thing that we want to find this morning that is a good quality that was found in Moses is that he was a guy that stood up for the people. Can I hear an amen on that? You know, so much of our political arena today, the people that we send to the various offices, they don't always stand up for the people, they stand up for themselves. Okay, you may not agree, but that's how I see it. They're taking their cut out of the top most of the time, and that's something that really turns me off. But that wasn't the case with Moses. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. And you know what? I may have to have someone come up here and give me a hand. We'll see. I'm really having a battle here with the wind. I don't know if I would come down on ground level. It might help me. Jason, if you'll hold this left-hand side of this Bible, that'll be a good help. Anyway, you remember about Moses. You can read these verses, but what took place is that as Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, you remember the miraculous way that he was preserved, that his life was preserved. You can read that in the opening parts of Exodus. You'll find that it says here in verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren, that's the Israelites that were now captive in Egypt. You know how they got there, through Joseph. And when he was sold by his brothers into a caravan that took him into Egypt, he rose to the cream of the crop there. But 400 years went by and they forgot who he was. And so now they were in a situation that they'd been in bondage and they were there for 400 years. He saw one of his brethren, an Israelite, and he spied, it says here in the word, an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Was that right, what Joseph did? No, murder is never right. But we're going to look beyond that today because we know that Moses was a sinner. He did not do right, and he ran away. That's all recorded here. But let me tell you something today, folks, that's a positive, is that as sinners, God still loves us. And when we make mistakes, he's not done with us. If we get our hearts adjusted right with him. And that's the beautiful thing about God. So he did do that. And then he went out another time and he saw two Hebrews that were fighting. I'm going to have to paraphrase this a little bit. And, of course, he says, why are you doing this? And they said, well, why are we so bad? We saw you kill an Egyptian just the other day. And so that's the fact. So off goes Moses over to Midian, the land of Midian. We won't go into the background of that, but there's some ties there to the Hebrews as well in the Midianites. And so we find, again, that he's on the run here, and he knows that he did wrong. But I want to reference verse 17 this morning about these blanks. And the shepherds came and drove them away. You see, the daughters of Jethro. And we're not talking about the Beverly Hillbillies here, but Jethro, the priest of Midian, he had seven beautiful daughters, and they came up to water the sheep at the well, and Moses happened to be there in the wilderness. Well, he didn't happen to be there. He was there by God's providence. And these characters came through, and they were going to drive these gals and their sheep away from the troughs. But Moses, it says there in verse 17, stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, to cut right to the core of this first little part of this outline today, Moses was a guy that stood up for the people that were downtrodden. Yes, he didn't do right what he did to that Egyptian, but he was standing up for the people that had been done dirty. And I think that's an admirable quality, again, not to murder someone, but to take a stand for those that are being oppressed and those that are being taken advantage of. And Moses was a guy that was like that. He was on target to help the innocent and the disenfranchised. Now, you can read on down through 19, but I've given you the bulk of that. And the other blanks on that one are this. He was one who is imperfect but usable. One who is imperfect but usable. And as you look all the way through, you'll find that Moses made a lot of mistakes. But that's what God is looking for. He knows that we have those troubles. But he's looking for someone that, again, he can use that is willing to submit to him. Now, I have on this sheet Numbers 29 through 13. We won't go there, but we know that Moses had a lot of trouble with God's people. And he really did. And I don't know. I think if I'd have been in that situation, it would have been a lot worse. But you can reference that. You know, the people complained without stop as they were led into the promised land. Or towards the promised land, they were in the wilderness. But Moses got angry. He lost his cool. and that section that I have listed there, Numbers 20, that's when God told him again to speak to the rock, that water would flow out of it, but Moses struck it twice in his anger, and God said, Moses, because you've done that, you're going to see the promised land, but you'll never enter the promised land. And so there was a penalty to pay for that, and Moses had his struggles when it came to leadership. He was far from perfect, but God uses people that are imperfect that are willing to be used. Second thing today is found in Exodus 3:6. This is a very important quality. One, and as you go to the ballot box here, just a little over a month away, or maybe you voted absentee, I don't know what the case is, but as you mark your choices, look for someone who fears God. Look for someone who fears God. Exodus 3:6 says this. God again was calling Moses here at the burning bush. I can't preach all that this morning, but he says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was, now I've got the KJV this morning, but he was afraid to look upon God. You know what? Moses had a healthy respect for God. He was introduced to him out there in the wilderness, alone, with the burning bush and all the things that took place. But I'm going to say this, folks, if our leaders have no respect for God, you better watch out. And that's a very important quality as you choose a leader. And then over to Exodus 4:1. Jason, do we take a possibility here to turn a page? Thank you, Lord. He let the wind go down there just as we turned it. Another very important quality of Moses among many this morning, and this is, again, a response that Moses had with God. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You remember what the deal was with Moses? God called him there at the burning bush to do what? He called him to go to Pharaoh to deliver his people out of the bondage there in Egypt. But what did Moses do? Now, some people have taught this, that Moses made excuses. I think he did. But I also think that what was behind those excuses was a true thing in Moses' heart, that he thought he was not up to the task. How many here this morning have ever been in that kind of a situation? I have just this morning. I'm not up to the task. It's only by God's grace that any of us can do anything. But I'll tell you what, folks, here's your blanks. On Exodus 4:1, it's one who is not full of himself, but has humility, honesty, and acknowledges the need for God. You know what? Everything that Moses came up with that he said he couldn't do, God had a remedy for. What is it again? What's that, Matt? Okay, I'll say it again. Normally, we'd have all this up on PowerPoint, wouldn't we? One who is not full of himself. In other words, doesn't think he's something special, but has humility, honesty, and acknowledges need for God. Moses had excuses. Many were valid apart from God's help. And that's the case with leaders and with us today. The impossible are things that the God of all possibilities can do. You never count God out on anything, just like I said about what's happened in the last few days here. Let me tell you, he's in control, and he'll show that. You know, he's the God of miracles. And as the Bible says, with him there is nothing that you can count out. So don't forget that. Anyway, that's the one there. Moses had all kinds of reasons why he couldn't, but God told him he had every reason to believe that he could. And he did do it. But he was never a guy that was full of himself. He was relying on God. The next blank is found in Exodus 4:18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Well, he had to go to his father-in-law and say, hey, I'm going to be leaving your daughter and my family, headed back on a big challenge into Egypt to do what God wants me to do. Here's your blank. This great quality of leadership is one who obeys God. And yeah, you can say Moses slipped up a few times in his career. Yes, he did. But he had it right, and he sought, I think, to the greatest extent, to be one who obeyed God. So that's your blank there. One who obeys God, and then also one who is endorsed in God's calling by those close to him. And who I'm referring to there is Jethro. Because let's think about this a little bit. The one time that Kim and I moved away from home with our family for me to go to school, a lot of our family said, oh, don't do it, and they gave all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't do it. But we trusted God. And I'll tell you, God made good things out of that, in our kids even. It did things for them that they would have never accomplished had we stuck at home and not done anything and followed what God wanted us to do. So Jethro recognized that, his father-in-law, and he said, didn't I read there? He says, go how? In peace. He didn't say, don't take my kids from me. It's all about me. I want my grandkids around. But no, he said, go. Go in peace. So there it is. One who obeys God, one who is endorsed in God's calling by those close to him. Those are important things to look at in leaders. Look at a lot of the things that are going on in their life and how they operate. You'll have a good idea who God would want in office and who he wouldn't. And then we go to the next blank in Exodus 5:1. And we read the following. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. You'll have to read the ensuing text here. God actually called Moses' older brother, Aaron, to help him. Because Moses wasn't a guy that had the gift for the gab. But older brother Aaron, who was 3 years older than him, by the way, did have that. And God teamed him up. And you know something? I have a lot of deficiencies. Well, you know that hearing me this morning. I'm not much of a speaker. You all have deficiencies this morning. I won't recognize any of those, but I've seen some in some of you because we're all that way, right? Yeah. But afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And so here's another quality of leadership that Moses had. Could you imagine that, going to the top echelon in Egypt, the head man, and telling them a message from God? These are people that don't even know the God of the Bible. They have all different types of false gods. And you're going to go in there with a message from the Lord, from the God of the Bible, the God of creation. Folks, it's a lot that way today. You know, many of the places that I talk to, people don't want to hear it. And you can put your life in danger. I fully realize that. I know that that's the case. You speak the truth about God, you better be ready. It's like I've told a lot of you, you're in the shooting gallery. And that's where Moses was, but he went anyway, and here's your blank. One who has boldness with God's directives. One who has boldness with God's directives. A person that is a truth speaker. Someone who's a truth speaker. That's the quality you're looking for in a leader. And also, along with that blank, as I mentioned here just a moment ago, it's got to be a person who can work in a team or a shared effort. And in this case, Aaron was God's appointed helper for Moses. Now, I'm not saying in all situations we work with a team, but the Bible tells us that too. It says that in many situations we have to. And all of our leaders, whether it's local government on up to the top or any other leadership position, if you don't have people that surround you that you can work with, you're going to be in trouble because you can't do it all. And we'll see that coming here in a little bit. Again, where Moses got into a little trouble, but his father-in-law helped him again here. We'll see that in a few minutes. But a lone wolf will never work in these type of situations. It's got to be someone at least willing to team up with God, but also God's people. So never forget that. Now, I have to cough here for just a minute. Excuse me. I know that wasn't totally correct there. I should have covered that with my elbow, but if I did, we'd have lost the sermon. The next blank that you have there, I'll give you right away, but it's a person of faith. A person of faith. Let's go to Exodus 6, 9 through 13, briefly. Someone, I don't have any way of knowing. We don't have a clock in the back this morning. Where are we at on time? Do I need to speed up? Diane Dunker, where are we at? Ooh, we're getting short on time. I'm going to have to put her in high gear. Exodus 6, 9 through 13. And let's see, Jason, we're one page too far. Excuse me. Exodus 6, 9 through 13. And Moses spoke so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not. We knew all that would happen. Moses knew it too, just like today. Most people don't want to hear anything, again, that God wants to tell them. They hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. They were bitter is what the bottom line. By the way, if you're bitter here this morning, lose it. Because the Bible says in the book of James, bitterness defiles a man. You can tell it in people. I want to tell you this morning, I'm not bitter about anything. Whatever happens in our nation, sure, I'm concerned about, but I'm not really that concerned because God's working his plan. He's going to do it, folks. And if you're bitter about stuff, and there's a lot of bitterness in America today, probably a lot of bitterness right out here in this lot today, get rid of it. Give it to God. Enjoy the day. Do what you need to do. With regard to the Lord, let him handle it. I guarantee you he'll handle it just fine. He'll handle it just fine. And you don't even have to send in a contribution. Did you hear me? I got a letter in the mail yesterday of a high office that wanted money. I said to Kim, they've got more than I've got. I'm going to give what I have of my resources to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll use them wisely, folks. Anyway, a person of faith. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, this is verse 10. He says, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You can go on to verse 6 of chapter 7 and also Numbers 12:7. But the fact of the matter is, Moses was a person of faith, even when his own brother stabbed him in the back. And you'll see that in that account in Numbers 12. Also, his sister Miriam stabbed him in the back. But Moses continued to operate trusting God. He was a man of faith. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's going to happen to you too. I don't care where you're at, if you put yourself in a position of responsibility, you're going to have the naysayers and you're going to have the backstabbers. That's why I always quote the OJs, 1971. They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. Jason, do you have a knife? Okay. Actually. He probably does, yeah. That's going to go with the territory, folks, because you're in the shooting gallery. All right, next point, and it goes right along with this, Exodus 16:2. If you've never read all this account, take some time this afternoon. Skip lunch today. Read the Bible. Read this account of what took place here as God brought his people miraculously out of Egypt. He let them in there miraculously. He took them out the same way, and that's how he works. We sang about that this morning. My Father is omnipotent. And that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles is written in the sky. And I'll tell you what, that's how he works. But this is one here, I'm not so much this way anymore because I bleed if I get scratched anymore. But someone that has thick skin. A leader needs to have thick skin. One who has thick skin. Why is that? Because you're going to be in the shooting gallery. And let's read Exodus 16:2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, in the King James, it says, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. In other words, just like probably happens here a lot, you might have roast pastor for lunch once in a while. You say, yeah, I don't agree with that guy. Well, you know what? You don't pay me to come here and make you agree with me. You call me to come here and preach the word of God. And sometimes that's controversial. Amen? And I realize that too. Not that it doesn't hurt me and not that it isn't a problem. But you know what? You got to have thick skin when you're working for the Lord because it's going to be a tough road to hoe. You can read the rest of that text, Numbers 12, 1 through 3. And as I said, even Moses' own brother talked against him and his sister Miriam did the same thing. Now I got to turn a page and we'll get down the road here. This is only a two-page message. This is only a two-page message. There you go. Excuse me. Let's see. Okay, we're on the right page, Jason. Is everyone able to fill in and keep up these blanks? Okay, good deal. Sorry that we got messed up on that. We'll get it corrected. I'll tell you what, when you put Deb Wheeler in charge of something like that, she will have this corrected by tomorrow, I guarantee you. Someone will be held accountable. No. We have a great copier guy. His name's Ron. He lives over in Adelissa. He does a good job with us. And I'll tell you what, let's just take a quick intermission here. Thanks to everyone, and especially I just want to mention Jeff's work every Sunday for putting together all this sound stuff. Yep, that's a big task every Sunday morning. Anyway, here's the next blank. It's found in Exodus 17, 3 through 6. Let's read this. I mentioned about people getting thirsty. Well, they were in the desert. That does happen. And the people thirsted there for water, Exodus 17, 3. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" They were the biggest complainers. All the time they murmured, talked back about things. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What am I going to do with these people? They almost are ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod." Remember the rod he used with Pharaoh? "Wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock." And there, in this case, he told him to strike it once. "And there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now here's your blank. You see, Moses cried out to God. I believe Moses was a prayer. You can see evidence that he was a prayer. He was a communicator with God. I'll tell you what, folks, when you cast your vote this year, you better think about the people that are prayers. But also he relied on God. He went ahead and did this, and it came to pass. So a prayer and one who relies on God. That's your next blank. Now quickly on to the next one, and this is found in Exodus 18, verses 4 through 27. Exodus 18, 20, or 4 through 27. We can't read all of that, but if you read that section, you'll notice here that after they'd gotten over into the desert and so forth, and Moses' father-in-law Jethro brought the wife Zipporah and the boy, two boys back to be with him, he got to noticing things. Let's go over to about 14. I think I'm pretty close here. "And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people," in other words, Moses had the whole burden of this on his shoulders. You know how much people fight. Husbands and wives can't get along. Children and family, you know, you go right down the line. People don't get along. And so they were bringing every little thing to Moses for him to have to adjudicate, to settle, okay? And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he sees it. He says, "Moses, you're going to go over the deep end if you don't get some help." Isn't that what he said? Yep. He said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why do you sit there all alone?" Remember what we said about that earlier. "And all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening." I think I would have blown up after a few hours of that. I probably would have. "And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses was doing a great job. "But Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that you're doing is not good." You know, I admit today, if Kim's dad, even at his advanced age, came to me and said, "John, I think you're on the wrong track," I'd listen to him. Take advice from people. Yeah. "And Moses' father-in-law said, it's not good. You'll surely wear away. These people are going to wear you out, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." Now in 19 he says, "Listen to me, hearken to my voice, I will give you counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." He says, "Moses, your job's talking with the Lord about this stuff, not dealing with all these little tiddly things every day that the people bring to you." So here's your blanks. This is another very important thing about leadership. One who receives godly counsel. One who receives godly counsel. And also, he got that information from his father-in-law, one who is a delegator. One who is a delegator. You cannot do everything. None of our leaders can do it alone. But they need to be able to take wise counsel and choose people that can do things to help them. All right, quickly, Exodus 31:18. Exodus 31:18. Just three more blanks. Just three more blanks. Just three more blanks. Okay. Exodus 31:18. Jason, where are we at here? Here we are. Well, you know, I laugh a lot about Moses, too. Because you know that old joke, Moses was the first one to break the law. Literally, He went up into the mount 40 days, 40 nights. God works in 40s. Last week we were talking about 70s, but remember that? Of course, the people, Aaron, they're down there, made a golden calf and the whole thing. Moses heard all that. He got mad, had a little, I think he needed anger management. But he took the tablets that God wrote on of the law and gave him a throw and broke them. Now, I shouldn't laugh about that, should I, Jason? That's a serious matter. It is. It is. But I'm going to laugh a little anyway because I can identify with Moses. Kim's back there. She's not honking this morning. Anyway, here it is, 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Well, you can read what happened there. Moses broke them because of what was going on. But here's the thing about this, and you're blank with a leader. It's one who has integrity. Moses had integrity. And he was charged with responsibilities for the law to the people, and he was a communicator. So yes, he did break the law the first time. But the fact of the matter is God chose him to be an intermediary, you know, between himself and the people. And Moses was a guy with integrity because the law ended up, it did end up getting put on the stone, the tables. Who did it the second time? Moses. He learned. But he was also a communicator with the people and an intermediary for God. That's so important in leadership, communication, but also mostly integrity. We're down to 3 points. Did I say that before? Maybe I did. I didn't mean to lie, but I may have made a mistake. Okay, here it is. Exodus 32:11-14. Exodus 32:11-14. And what we have here, if you read in the context, is that Moses was not the only one that was angry with the people, with the Israelites. God was pretty angry too, because he wanted to do what? He wanted to wad it up and throw it in a trash can. And Moses interceded and appealed to God on their behalf that he would, again, forgive their sins. And God did that, okay? But here's the point out of all this. This is found in 32:11-14. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, or for the wrong reasons? And you can read this context here. And Moses appealed to God. Now God, again, his mind never changes in the sense that he knew beforehand that he wouldn't do this, but he was angry, just like we get sometimes about things. But the fact of the matter is, Moses demonstrated some really good qualities here when he went to the throne of God. And these are the ones in your blanks here. He was one who demonstrates compassion and love for people, even when they've done the wrong things. That's so important in leadership, that we have an attitude of compassion. Down to point, 1 point before the end now. Now we're going to go over to the book of Numbers, 27. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 27. Thank you, Lord. The wind's down a little bit here. 27 and verses 12 through 23. Whoops, we're one too far yet, Jason. Well, I'm having some trouble here getting pages turned. Numbers 27, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 23. And again, you can look these up later as you work through this again, but some good guidelines here. And we find this. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount, Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. This is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And you can read down through this. There's a transition coming here. God says, Moses, you're coming up to the end of your time. And like I told you, what you did there at the rock in Horeb has cost you the privilege of crossing over the Jordan into the promised land, but you're going to get to see it. And so God says, go up and take a look. That's in effect what's said there. But here's the thing, folks. You know who Moses' successor was. It was a guy named Joshua. And so that's what we see in this text. Moses is preparing here, and if you read through this, Like verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set before him Eleazar the priest. You can go right through this text here. God said, Moses, get Joshua set up to take over this bunch of folks, because there's good stuff coming. We're going into the promised land. Here's your blank. One who is actively engaged in the planning for a successor. One who is actively engaged in the planning for a successor. In other words, it's not a one-man show, as we've already learned this morning, but when you take a position of responsibility, you should also be grooming others to take that place. And not a top-down management thing, but a thing where you're showing people with hands-on experience how to do that. And I think that's a very important thing in the leadership qualities of people that will elect or in any position of leadership. You should be setting up what may come to pass in the future, because just as we know, our days are numbered. We don't know how long God will allow us to go on, but God encouraged Moses to plan for his successor. Last point. Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. Sometimes good things are said about people. Usually, though, they're said after they're gone, not when they're around. Take some time today, though, to commend good actions by leaders. Don't only just talk to them about negatives. But here's the thing here, the last point today, verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, who the Lord knew face to face. This is why I'm saying Moses was a good leader. Not perfect, but good. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent to him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. In other words, Moses did what? He did what God sent him to do. He carried out the task. Now here's the last verse this morning. And in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, Moses accomplished what God set him to do. With some troubles, but he did get it accomplished. And with many of the qualities I've listed to you this morning. Here's your last blank. This is what every one of us should have in mind today, because you know every one of us in this lot this morning is a leader. Either in the home, in the job place, maybe there's some political people here. In some way, shape, or form, though, God's called you to lead in some way. But here's the last blank. One who leaves a legacy for God and good. When you go to mark your ballots this year, or anything that involves leadership that you deal with, you better be thinking about who you place there, whether their legacy is going to be for good and for God. And I encourage you, if you can't do that, you better think that over a few times and pray about that further, because it's very important. But that was Moses. Now here's the conclusion. And there's a whole lot more. I didn't have time to even hardly touch this morning. But in conclusion, my friends, there are no perfect candidates for any office because we are defective sinners. However, we must choose the best one by God's qualities for leadership of those running, or a write-in candidate, or none of the above. I believe God leaves that potential there for us as well. Your vote in any of the above-mentioned categories is powerful. Now you're saying, well, you've heard all this before, John, you know. No, I'm going to tell you something different that you haven't heard on TV or wherever you listen or look. By the way, I've never had so much mail. My box was full yesterday of political stuff. Where do they get the money for all this stuff? Well, you know where they get it. But your vote's powerful, and I'm going to tell you why with something none of them will tell you today, because you know something? God's given you that vote to glorify Him. It's not to place people into positions, although that may be the result of it, but you're going to be accountable for what you do or what you don't do to Almighty God. I want to tell you that today. So here's your conclusion. Because we are held accountable by God for everything that we do. Now, yes, He's forgiven us in Christ if you've gone to Him and asked for that. But let me say this, folks, even for the believer, we are not off the hook. You know, we know that it's called the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a review of what we've done. Doesn't stop us from going to heaven, but it does stop us from receiving rewards. I can stand before you today and tell you that I'm not going to have a lot of rewards because I've made mistakes. You have too. And even a vote or what you do with that responsibility is taken into account by God. We're held accountable by God because we should know what to do. And if you don't, this morning you got to start from the Word of God, because you can pick any leader you want and you'll get some qualities or things that are not good that will help you to be informed. Here's the last sentence. We know this because He tells us what to do, and you heard some of that. So the question I close with today is this: what would God have you and I to do on November 3rd? Amen. Have a great day in the Lord. Let's take our song sheets and we're going to close. There's a lot of responsibility, my friends. And we've got Kay back again. Now if I can find my sheet. We're going to sing our O God, Our Help in Ages Past. You've got that on your handouts this morning. I'll tell you what, folks, as I close in prayer today, after we sing one or two stanzas of this hymn, and I think we ought to sing it as a prayer. I really do. We sang it? Oh, I'm sorry. May the Mind of Christ My Savior. Excuse me. 799. Yeah. But as we sing that today, may this be a prayer that we would have the mind of Christ as we operate. He's given us. The Bible says we may know the mind of Christ, because if we study in the Word, He'll reveal that to us about what to do. But also today, as I close, it's not just about the election that I'm preaching about today. It's about what you'll do with Jesus. And what I'm getting at there is this. Denny Wheeler used to have a bumper sticker on the old blue van. It said, "Elect Jesus, King of Your Life." Look at all this energy that's gone into signs and all this stuff all around us today, folks. Let me ask you, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ? That's the sign I want to put out at my place. Apart from Jesus, we're in trouble, my friends. He loves you today. He loves sinners. He doesn't want anyone to end up in eternal punishment in hell. But He came that we might live eternally with Him. And that's done today, my friends, through receiving the gift. No works, nothing you can do. By receiving the gift of love in Jesus Christ, believing on Him, confessing your sins and allowing Him to forgive you, acknowledging He as your Savior. That's the message today. Again, Jane and I are going to be down here. If you have something you'd like to talk to me about, I'd love to. If you're concerned about salvation today or wonder about that, I'm glad to show you from the Scriptures. I can't save you, but I can show you how God does. And I invite you to that today, to elect Jesus to be number one in your life today. Here we go.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and word controlling all I do and say.
There's several stanzas of this song. They're a beautiful prayer. May this be our prayer today. We'll close now with the final stanza and with prayer.
May His beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to live. And may they forget the channel, seeing only Him.
You see, we're just a vessel for Jesus Christ. It's He that we want to be sure is seen by those around us. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for the governance of Your Word. The answers are there. It's the answer book. Oh Lord, help us in a sin-racked, divided nation, in divided families and homes, in relationships that are broken, oh Lord. We know that You are the one who can reunite us back to where we need to be. My prayer today is not only for our nation and for the decisions that are to be made here within a few weeks, and for those in authority over us today, but also, O Lord, that there would be action taken on a personal level with those around us this day. Father, may our needs and our considerations not take precedence over you, that people would see you in us, and that we'd operate in a way and speak in such a way that draws people to you rather than to the opponent, who is Satan. Now, Father, I pray your blessing keep this congregation. If there is any needs here this morning, I certainly hope folks will address those today. I'm here to show from Scripture again and encourage. And, Lord, just dismiss us with your blessing until we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray, that powerful name, amen. You are dismissed.